One final segment here with Representative Mark Pocan. Again, thank you so much for being here. It really is such a joy to talk to you every time you come on. So I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I have to say thank you for, and I got to keep myself straight here. Like I really appreciate the work that you and our Democratic colleagues are doing, because I mean, you are fighting for myself and my family and all of us, all the listeners. You are the first line of defense, and I am very, very grateful for that. Two things I'm really concerned about, and I think you are too. Everybody should be. First is the freedom of speech. Yeah, and other basic freedoms, but especially that one. And then the second was, I'm going to play a clip here. And we're going to play a clip of Donald Trump and what he had to say at the little gathering that Pete Hegseth had.
Last month, I signed an executive order to provide training for a quick reaction force that can help quell civil disturbances. So this is going to be a big thing for the people in this room, because it's the enemy from within. We're under invasion from within. No different than a foreign enemy. And I told Pete, we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military.
I think I found this to be one Holy of the crap. Most unsettling Trump speeches I've ever seen.
If you look at the authority.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, I actually had some comfort in watching the generals not give in to what they expected. Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth thought it was going to be a campaign rally with a bunch of clapping seals like they do around the country. And instead, they were dignified and they sat there and listened to their commander-in-chief, but they didn't, pretend as if, he just juggled five balls in front of them, right? They didn't applaud wildly and tell him how terrific he was, and they just weren't ready for that. They expected a campaign rally, and, to the military's credit, they were respectful and sat there and listened. They were summoned there, but didn't play politics. So that was a good sign, at least, of that speech.
Yeah, and then which is good, but I also want to play one more clip here, and I want to. This is a little closer to your world here.
He also said at the Pentagon yesterday that he wants American cities to be used as training grounds for the American military. Is this the highest and best use of the U.S. military, and is this the right way to train them?
I don't serve in the Pentagon. I run the House of Representatives. And what we need to be talking about today is real harm that the American people are going to feel because of what Chuck Schumer is doing. Let me tell you what's going to be
Well, hold on a second.
Today.
As Speaker of the
Women,
House, do you
believe...
Let me
know,
answer the question. As Speaker
provided.
Of the House, do you believe it's appropriate to use American cities as training grounds for the U.S. military, calling those people in the American cities the enemy within? I'm asking you, as Speaker of the House, do you think that's appropriate?
I'm not going to comment on your characterization of what the President said.
Those are quotes, not a characterization. When is this, like, what? Holy crap.
Yeah, I have two theories. One, and they're based on actual conversations with Republicans. One is they're afraid for their political futures. Donald Trump decides he's going to take you out. Odds are 9 out of 10 in a primary. He can do that because he's got the power of the base of the Republican Party, so no one will stand up to him or question him. The second part, though, it's far worse, unfortunately, is, I was told by a pretty high-ranking Democratic U.S. senator through someone who attended something he was talking to folks at, that there were about 4 Republican U.S. senators that would have voted against some of the cabinet secretary picks because they just weren't qualified. And they didn't vote against them because their family members had gotten threats. Mm-hmm. Not just us. I mean, I signed up for this. I get threats on a regular basis. I don't even think I get told anymore as often as we get threats, but not your kids or your spouse or anything else. And for that reason, they caved and approved the people he put out there. So, that's the problem, is there's no one in the Republican Party since Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger left that'll stand up and speak the truth, because it's about either protecting their families or protecting their political careers.
But so, you know, we look at the things that have been under assault, from speech to expression. I know Trump, the administration, the education, they released something that they targeted 15 universities to say, well, you need to like support our agenda or we're going to cut your, and they did this. This is not the third or fourth time they've tried to do this. But I mean, with these, and now with the cities that are going to be training grounds, is he saying the quiet part out loud and like we're just close to a police state? What, like, is that a realistic thing? Where are we with this?
Well, yeah, you know, there's a few theories. I mean, one, I mean, he just thinks, again, he is the king, right? Which is why October 18th is going to be no king's rallies across the state of Wisconsin and across the country, for good reason, because, you know, we didn't elect a king. That's not our system of government. But, you know, a part of it, some people think he's getting prepared for the election next year. I am someone who thinks that because of watching the courts and having the victories against the Trump administration, that, you know, people who are worried that there won't be elections next year, I don't worry about that. I think those systems are safe. But people then think, well, maybe he's doing this to prepare, to intimidate people in certain Democratic areas about voting. And, you know, that one, you know, there could be a little more reality too, but no matter what, it's, he thinks he has the power to do anything, and that's why we're facing these decisions.
I remember when I was a chairman of the Republican Party, we would, you know, get all these directives from the state and from the national, you know, the biggest thing is get the poll watchers there and get the people to the polls and all these other things. And so, yeah, I mean, intimidation has always been a tactic. I can absolutely see that. You know, with governing versus culture war versus authoritarianism, I mean, each one of these little steps towards that authoritarian state, I think 2026, we're fine. I think we're going to have the elections, but then Gavin Newsom said on late night that he didn't think in 2028, he's nervous that there might not be an election if we don't do anything. Like these conversations are getting loud.
Yeah, although always take the messenger a little bit into consideration.
Yes.
I think anyone who wants to be president in 2028 is saying things that they want, that's red meat for the base.
And
I'm probably going to weigh that differently than, you know, maybe some of us who have been doing this for 30 years who aren't running for anything else other than to get something done. And we share the same fears and concerns that people who call our office have, you know, because we're living through this with everyone. And, you know, by watching, again, the successes that we've had in the courts against the Trump administration, I think they do have some good limitations against them, thanks to our founders.
Yeah.
So that's good. But, you know, but for example, when they fire people like they're going to do, I think, very, very soon, because, you know, under the guise of the shutdown, but in reality, it's because of Project 2025, even though there'll be lawsuits, if it doesn't get resolved for a month or two or six, how many people can just wait on the sidelines, and how many people decide to leave, you know, public service and do something else because it's too volatile for their family? And that's the price that we pay. Even when he breaks the law and stops breaking the law, there's still a price that we paid along the way.
We had a woman who was high up at USAID join the show, and she said that one of the biggest lasting impacts from Trump 1.0 was the brain drain in federal agencies. And it was just that, like, they couldn't handle, or they left, or they were cut. And then to try to bring people back, you know, you have diplomats and you have career government employees that are doing it, and they understand they're not going to get the money that you could in the private sector, but they do it because they have a sense of duty. And how many of those people are gone? And you can't just get those people back.
Yeah, no question. And when you look at the number of people who left with the RIFs, which is the basically leaving service early because they were told they could lose their job, and plenty of people read Project 2025 and knew what the game plan was. Yeah, we lost a lot of people and are not going to be replaced. And that is a brain drain. And then, you know, we heard from researchers at the University of Wisconsin, they're not federal employees, actually researchers across the country, who when they started pulling some of the federal monies, NIH, NSF grants, you know, you can't stop research mid-process in some cases, and they've already spent a couple of years on this. You know, they're going to go to the private sector, or honestly, we've heard of people going to other countries to do the research because they're a researcher. That's what they're in it for. But if, you know, Donald Trump's antics cause them to not be able to do it effectively, then we've lost the people who are finding cures for cancer and for Alzheimer's and, you know, for things like that. So there is a lot at stake just by having Donald Trump be Donald Trump.
The one of the good things about living here in Wisconsin is we're talking with Congressman Mark Pocan. We have, you know, you talk about how can you fight back. We have an opportunity here, I think, and I, you know, you and I have talked about this, you know, off air about potentially being able to flip two seats here in the state. We have number one moron in chief, Derek Van Orden. I don't know how does he still have a job, by the way?
Man, talk about, you know, I'll tell you, I have Democrats and Republicans ask me about him. I've had just so many. I mean, I won't go into the specifics because I just don't. There's so much. Let's just say it's a rich territory for the embarrassment that he provides every day in committee hearings. I just heard about it this week. They said when he's in classified hearings, because he serves on armed services, he asks some of the dumbest, most insulting questions, how he treats witnesses, everything
really?
Else. He thinks he's better than people, right? And then we have, you know, the people stop me on the floor and ask me if it's possible there could be a member of Congress from Wisconsin that could be intoxicated at 11 a.m.
Nice.
And I have to say, yes, it is possible that that's happening. And, you know, so many stories that just are not becoming of a member of Congress. And, you know, his most recent one is he's fighting. He wants to take away federal funding for the entire city of Eau Claire, 67,000 people. They've lost their two hospitals because of, you know, it's tough to be a rural hospital. They're going to have even more difficulty now with what's happening. And yet two alders had a social media exchange. One put a quote that Charlie Kirk said. That's all they did was put a quote. And the other one replied to it. And based on that, he thinks he should stop all federal funding to the city of Eau Claire. The village of Ellsworth in his district, a teacher said something on social media. He wants to pull the funding for the entire village of Ellsworth. He wants to pull the funding from the Mayo Clinic because someone who works for the Mayo Clinic said something that he didn't like.
That'll be popular, like, with their district. We got 10 seconds left. What can people do here to fight back?
You know what? Go to the No Kings rallies on the 18th. Show the people power we have. Thanks to what we did with Jimmy Kimmel by canceling, you know, those subscriptions, we spoke volumes.
Dude, thank you so very much. I appreciate you, and let's do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so
much. Love you, brother. Thank you, man. Take care.
Yep. Take care.
That was Mark Pocan here on The Rational Revolution. We will be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.